I love seeing young people stand up and serve the Lord. And that always blesses my heart. And I like seeing old people stand up and serve Him too. So I just like seeing people serve the Lord. Amen. And I talked about that this morning. I appreciate the goodness. All right, I want you to take your Bibles and be finding the book of Romans tonight, chapter number 1. The book of Romans, chapter number 1. And give you the thought the Lord's laid up on my heart for this evening. Romans chapter number 1. And when you find your place, if you're willing and able, I want to ask you to stand, and we'll honor the reading and that of the Word of God this evening, Romans chapter number 1. I preached so late this morning, I figured I'm going to try to do my best to make up for it tonight, all right? I'm going to try to preach quick tonight, all right? So y'all hang with me. Y'all wasn't here this morning. It's 12:30. I preached, and I was telling myself, I thank God we got a church around here that preaches after 12 o'clock. And they said amen, so I just kept on going. I'll never get another amen out of them now or not. But I appreciate the Lord. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, and skip down to verse number 13. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 13. If you're there and you're with me this evening and you love your Bible, would you let it know by saying amen? Amen. The Bible says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but I was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is," Paul says, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." I want to preach on this thought for a few moments tonight. I want to preach on being in debt. Everybody's talking about how to get out of debt. I'm going to preach on being in it tonight, praise the Lord. All right, Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, help us now as we come to the preaching time. Give me an unction to preach with. I pray, God, you'd breathe on us one more time. We recognize there'll be no preaching unless you do the preaching. So I pray, God, you'd preach through me, in me, around me. I preach all up and down this place tonight. Give us a fresh touch and a fresh anointing. Should there be one here that does not know you, Lord, I pray for conviction to fall from heaven this evening. I pray, God, Lord, you'd speak to their heart in a way that only you can. God, may they see themselves for who they really are. May they see their sin for what it is. But not only that, I pray they'd see you as the Savior that you are, and they'd run to you, place their faith in you, and be forever changed. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you're going to do. And Lord, we long for the day where our eyes shall behold you as who you really are. We love you. We praise you. Bless, I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated this evening. If you're a Bible studier, no doubt you're very familiar in that with the Apostle Paul. Even on the outside, the Apostle Paul is a very familiar character, even to the world. But it was the Apostle Paul who is the author in that of the book of Romans, as you study the Word of God. And not just the book of Romans, but if you're a Bible study, you know that the Apostle Paul, God would raise up and use to write much of the New Testament. He was a man that God would work a miracle in his life, do a great work, and he would raise him up to use in a mighty way to make it. He had a special role to us Gentile dogs. Amen. That ought to mean something to you this evening. But Paul, he was a great man of God, and people look at him and see all that. But could I remind you tonight that Paul wasn't always that way? You open the book of Romans and you read where Paul's talking about, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And on and on and on. We think, man, what a giant of the faith and what a preacher he was. And no doubt he was a preacher. But may I say that Paul wasn't always like that. You go study the book of Acts, and what you'll find is that the Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul, there was a day that he was on the other side of the aisle. There was a day where this man known as Saul, he hated God. He hated the gospel. He hated the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, he went about his way trying to eradicate the name and that of the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about he hated Christians so much that he would kill them. Arrest them, do whatever he could. He went from town to town trying to wreak havoc in that on the things of God. However, there came a day in the apostle's life where he was traveling down the Damascus Road, and you know the story. The Bible says there was a light shone round about him, and God struck him dead right there in the spot. Stopped him in his tracks. Blinded him. Amen. And we know, you know the story, and God appeared to him, and all of a sudden a man who hated God and a man who was fighting against God, all of a sudden when he got in the presence of God, he began to ask the question, what you want me to do, Lord? What would you have me to do? That is the power of our God. Amen. And so the apostle there, his life would never be the same as a result on the Damascus Road. There was a great change took place in that in the apostle's life. And I will say this, there ought to be a change in a child of God's life. If you can't tell much of a difference between the before product and the after product, I'd put a question mark on what I call salvation. Somebody ought to say amen right there. And I will say this, everybody, you ought to have a Damascus Road in your life. In other words, there ought to be a time and a place where God got real in your life and you had an experience with the Lord himself. I'm not saying you've got to be on a road named Damascus to be born again, but I am saying you've got to be in a place where the presence of God is so real in your life, and there was a clear presentation that it wasn't a preacher, it wasn't a singer, it wasn't this or that, but it was God himself revealing his truth to your heart. And it was at that moment when you cried out and you called on the name of the Lord and confessed him as your Lord, and God saved you by his own grace. There ought to be a Damascus Road in your life. Everybody ought to have a Damascus Road. And so Paul, after his experience in that with the Lord Jesus, we see that God would raise him up and change his life and would use him to start many churches. He was a great preacher, a missionary, evangelist, if you will, going out and preaching the word of God. And we see here in the book of Romans that the Apostle Paul, he's addressing the Romans, he's addressing the believers there in Rome, and he's talking about how ready he is to go and preach there in the area of Rome. But in doing so, Paul says something, and I want to take just a few moments tonight and just bring it to your attention, and then we'll get out of here and go get something good to eat. Praise the Lord for that. I'm hungry tonight. And I usually try to say that, hope that helps me motivate to preach quick, but sometimes it makes me preach longer. So I don't know if it'll go good or not tonight. But he says something I want you to notice tonight. Verse number 14, the Apostle Paul, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Paul says, I'm a debtor. Now at this moment, Paul is serving the Lord. At this moment, Paul he's saved. He's fulfilling the call of God on his life. And then when describing where Paul was in his life, you know what Paul says? He says, I'm in debt. Being in debt means that you owe something. That's what being in debt is all about. It means that somebody else paid the bill for you, and now you owe somebody. People's all the time talking about, I can't wait till I get out of debt. And that's a good goal to have. I've got that goal myself. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I'm looking forward to it. And I'm a striving to it. Everybody ought to strive to get out of debt. How many would agree tonight that I believe Christians ought to pay their bills? Somebody say amen right there. It's new generation ideas as well. Just live off of credit. No, you can't. At some point, somebody's got to pay the bill somewhere along the way. And so I believe you ought to strive to get out of debt. And I think that's a good thing. But I'm preaching on being in debt tonight. Not from a physical standpoint, but spiritually speaking. Because being in debt, you realize that somebody else has paid the bill, that the bill has been paid. And if you're a child of God tonight, you know and understand that somebody has paid our bill. Amen. Don't get too happy or nothing. I'm just talking about there was a sin debt that was placed on mankind, you and I. I mean, we had a debt we couldn't owe, and he paid one that he didn't owe and one that we couldn't pay. And you understand that because of sin, death was pronounced and death was coming. No matter how good you could be, and it didn't matter what you could come up with, what I could come up with, you could put it all in a bag and it still wouldn't add up to the amount that would justify the demands of a holy God. And yet Jesus Christ came as the substitutionary, voluntarily, amen, redemptive work that he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. You say, what is all that about? I'll tell you what it was all about. There was a bill due, you couldn't pay it, and he came and he paid it in our place, amen. And the good gospel news is we get to go free, amen. That's a pretty good deal. Somebody paid our bill, and therefore, but here's the reality. Paul says, as a result, Paul says, I am now a debtor. Notice he says that I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Now you say, well, that don't make no sense. I mean, how is it that you can be in debt, you know, by way of secondhand? I mean, the Lord Jesus paid his bill, did he not? Sure he did. He paid our bill, but yet we're still in debt. And we're in debt to this world that we're living in. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, you take Brother Chris, and Brother Coy's here. And so if I were to be out and Brother Chris said, you know, I want you to give Corey, you know, I want you to give him this $100 bill. And he gave it to me to give to him. And I gave it to him, then he's in debt to him, right? Is he not the source? Amen. He's the source of it. Secondhand. Here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, not because of what they've done for me, but I'm in debt because of what Jesus has done on behalf of me. You understand, Paul had something that they needed. Paul had something, the very thing that God said, I want you to go and I want you to share it with them. I want you to give it unto them. And so Paul says, I am a debtor. And could I tell you tonight, friend, if you're a child of God and you're living, you're in the will of God and living in accordance to the word of God, I'll say you're in debt tonight as well. Amen. Number one, we're in debt to the Lord. He's been that good to us. We can never repay him back. But not only that, we're in debt to the world that we live in because we have something that God has blessed us with that the world needs to know about. That being the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I'm a debtor. I want to give you a couple of things here about being in debt tonight. Number one, I want you to know that there is a burden that comes with being in debt. There's a burden that comes with being in debt. I don't like having a mortgage. I really don't. Some of y'all may love it, but I don't. I hate it. And one of the reasons that I hate having a mortgage is because of the burden that it produces. Huh? See, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to put my work boots on. I'm going to go to work. Why? Because there's a burden. At the end of the month, there's going to be a bill that is due. There is a burden that comes with being in debt. Debt produces a burden. You know, one of the problems I'm finding in the Church of America today, I'm afraid we have forgotten our burden. I'm afraid we have forgotten that we are in debt. Therefore, that has pulled the focus away from the burden. Paul had something that the world needed. Paul had a message that Rome needed to hear about. He had something that they needed to get a hold of, and therefore it produced a burden to get there and to preach the message and to relay the word of God. Insomuch that the apostle was willing to go to whatever extreme was necessary to make sure that the message was preached and the debt was paid. Lord, for a burden tonight. I thank God for people that has a burden, that carries a burden. And it's those people who realize they're in debt that maintain that burden. Amen. Realize that they're enjoying something that they don't deserve. Can I ask you a question tonight? How is it that we can lay our heads down at night, knowing that there are people all around us that need to hear, what you and I have experienced, the gospel, redemption, salvation. Amen. Knowing that there is a world that needs to hear, and yet we don't tell nobody. We don't pass out a tract. We do very, very little at doing it and then go home and lay our head down. Now, how can you do that? Only one explanation I come up with. You forgot you're in debt. And as a result, it has caused you to forget your burden. There's a burden of being in debt. Number two, I want you to notice the practice of being in debt. The practice of a debtor. He was ready to go and preach. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, here's the big deal about it. If you're a Bible student, you know and understand that Rome was an area. Well, I'm talking about there's a very educated crowd in Rome. I'm talking about who's who was in Rome. I'm talking about there was great philosophers that come out of the area and the region of Rome. I'm talking about it was a very prominent place, wealthy place. Here broke evangelists, and by the way, as she was talking about while going on, missionaries are not rich, all right? They all broke. All evangelists are broke. I preach evangelism before I start pastoring. And if you're in the ministry, just get ready to live. You're going to be in debt, friend. Amen. Or you're going to be hungry, one. Especially in the Independent Baptist Church. Somebody ought to help me preach right there. But hear me now. Here he is, and he's facing this area of Rome and all that's going on. And he says, I'm ready to go preach. And yet it was full of proud, arrogant people. I mean, it was a place where they weren't going to listen to no. They weren't going to listen to what no preacher had to say. They weren't going to listen to somebody like the Apostle Paul and hear what he's got to say. I could imagine the adversity that must have been present in the Apostle's life when he was talking about going to Rome. And don't you know there was those that said, what you want to go over there for? Why you won't preach to that crowd? Well, you won't do that. They ain't going to listen to you. Don't you know that place, it's different over there. It's not like it is over here. It's a different area. It's a different place. And if you are going to go over there, you can't go over there preaching like you've been a preaching, because they ain't going to put up with that. You're going to have to come up with a new way, new ideas and new programs and new this and new that in order to get a hold of that crowd over there, because they're different over there. But I like what the apostle does. He says, I'm ready though. Y'all don't understand. I'm ready to go. And notice this, he didn't say I'm ready to go hang out with them. I'm ready to go, eat a dinner, eat a meal with them. I'm ready to go see them or so they could see me. He says, I'm ready to go and preach. Amen for preaching. Can I say, it still takes the preached word of God, even in 2023. If you're going to make a difference in this world, it still takes the preached word of God. I'm glad we're still living in a day where there's some men of God that'll rise up in this late hour
shower and that old airbag, and they're not so worried about all the this and the that of society, but rather they still have got their minds focused on the fact that they are a debtor. They're living in debt, and they get out in their pulpits week in and week out and just rear back and preach the word of God. Amen. Just, I'm talking about line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. I mean, they ain't worried about what people think about it. They ain't worried trying to win some popularity contest, but they're trying to fulfill the call that God's placed upon them and the burden that's been placed upon them by being in debt, and they're ready to preach the gospel. He says, I'm ready to go and to preach the gospel. He says, here's why, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, Paul realized, hey, at the end of the day, if they get born again, if they get saved, if their life is changed just like my life was changed, it's going to take the same thing for them that it did for me. And hear me now, people say, well, you know, we just don't, it's a different day and different hour, and you know, we just don't, it ain't like it used to be. It ain't like it used to be. You don't see people getting saved like you used to. And I hear what you're saying. I understand that. And people's running around thinking, what in the world are we going to do? How are we going to get it? How are we going to reach it? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to rear back, grab another gear, and preach the gospel one more time, because at the end of the day, I wish somebody helped me preaching here tonight. At the end of the day, it's still the same way. Amen. It's the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection. And you ought not be ashamed of it tonight, because could I remind you, child of God, it still is the power of God unto salvation. And if you want to see some folk get born again, you want to win your lost family members, your friends, your co-workers, your school, you know, buddies and everything. What you say, what I need to do? I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to preach the gospel to them. Amen. Amen. Preach the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm just going to go over there and preach like I did when I was over here. I'm just going to preach. And I'll say the gospel still works. What are we going to do? We're going to preach. We're going to preach. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'll give you this last one that I'm done. I see the burden of the debtor. I see the practice. And then lastly, I see the freedom. You say the freedom. What are you talking about? There's freedom being in debt. That's kind of, you know, I don't know how you want to explain that one. But anyways, that's why the Lord give it to me. All right. So I'm just giving you the outline he put in my mind. I'm just praying y'all understand it like I did. Notice in verse number 18. Notice what your Bible says. Paul comes down through here and he's talking about, I'm ready to go to Rome. I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. But then he comes in verse number 18, right after this. Notice what he says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. And you can read on down through here, and you get to talking about, Paul's talking about the wrath of God, the judgment of God. Amen. I know we're living in a day where everybody's talking about, well, he's a God of love, and a God of love, and he is a God of love, and thank God that he is a God of love, for God so loved the world. Amen. But just as he's a God of love, he's a God of judgment. He's a holy God. And he gets right there through, and then all of a sudden it shifts and goes to the wrath of God. He deals with the reality of the wrath of God. Here's what I want you to know. If you don't tell them the truth about who God is, if you don't tell them the truth, if you don't warn them, then who's going to? Hollywood? Come on. The school teachers? If you and I don't warn them, who's going to? And when the debtor fulfills his call and practices
the call that God's placed upon his life, there's freedom in that. For example, here in a few moments, we're going to dismiss. I'm going to go get me something good to eat. And then I'm going to go home and go to bed. And when I lay my head down at night, you know what I'm going to get to do tonight? I'm going to wipe my hands. Because I've done my job today. I've done the best I could do to try to relay the message that God's put in my heart. Amen. Amen. And you know what comes with that? Being in debt, carrying that burden, you know what comes with it? When you practice what God's called you to do, there comes freedom in it as well. There's freedom. It's not on me now. It's on you. What is it? You can lead a horse to the watering trough, but you can't make him drink. Huh? Yeah. There's freedom in that. I'm not saying it makes it easier. Hey, I don't want to see anybody die lost and go to hell. Now, I don't rejoice in that. But it's one thing for somebody to die lost and go to hell, and then it's another thing for that person to die lost and go to hell, and I never did anything about it, and I never preached to them, I never tried to warn them, I never did anything. That's a totally different thing. There's no freedom in that. There's freedom. Living in debt. He talks about the wrath of God. You can read on down through here and talks about, and you see Paul, and really you study his ministry and you see all that God does, and throughout the entirety of his ministry, you say, what would keep a man going after that? I'll tell you what it is. He realizes that he's in debt. Amen. You know why I'm going to get up and go to work in the morning? Because I'm in debt. Yeah. I got kids to feed. I'm in debt. If I wasn't in debt, I'd stay in the bed tomorrow, Brother Marty. But I'm in debt. There's a burden. I got to continue on. Paul says, I'm in debt. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. God help us to be the Christian that God help us to be. Being in debt. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you ought to get saved. You're in a good place. You're in a good place. You're without excuse. You've been warned. You've been told. And I pray to God, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you get saved. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Lord, I do pray. I do pray that we, as your people, Lord, I pray that we'd realize where we are today, where we stand, that we are debtors. We're debtors to you. I understand that we could never repay you for all that you've done for us. God, it ought to be our desire to try and to realize that you've placed a call upon our lives, that there's a job to do, a message that we have that the world needs to hear. And God, we're in debt to them. And I pray for that one that may be here tonight. Lord, maybe they've lost the sense in that of the burden of being in debt. I pray tonight be the night they'd regain that, they'd get a hold of it. There's one that's not saved. I pray you'd speak to them, Lord, in a special way. I thank you for being God. I thank you for being good to us. And we praise you for it. Blessed during this invitation hour, we give you the praise, glory, and the honor for it all. For it's in Christ's high and holy name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. All right.